It is now my pleasure to introduce to you our second speaker, who is Jacqueline Wilson Lucas, who is an epidemiologist at the National Health Interview Survey. Her areas of specialty are health disparities and chronic disease epidemiology, which, given the information we just heard, is totally on track for where the need is. She's currently working in infectious diseases, working with data on infectious diseases, including HIV and hepatitis B at the national level. And the fascinating fact about Ms. Wilson Lucas is that she wouldn't have been able to be here today and to speak to you if she were not an operatic soprano in training, because she knew how to take care of her voice when she found out she had laryngitis yesterday and literally could not say or speak a note. So, Jacqueline Wilson Lucas, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here. Thank you, Karen, for introducing me. My voice isn't completely back, so please bear with me a little bit if I'm a little hoarse. As Karen mentioned, I will be sharing some information with you about the National Health Interview Survey's experience with examining health disparities for the Asian population. And I do want to thank my co-author, Dr. Renee Gindy. Required disclosure slide. I have three basic objectives this morning to share information with you. The first is to provide you with some very basic information about the National Health Interview Survey. The second is to briefly describe the Asian population using NHIS data. And the third is to illustrate for you how NHIS data can be used to examine disparities in Asian health. The National Health Interview Survey was first fielded in 1957 as a survey designed to collect information on the health status of the U.S. population. It is designed to provide data to address issues of current public health concern and to help identify and meet priority needs. Among its many uses, NHIS data are used to identify health and healthcare disparities, track goals for such major federal programs as the Healthy People Program, and to monitor changes in health insurance coverage. I just want to take a moment to explain the current structure of the NHIS so that you can understand a little bit about where the data come from that I'll be sharing with you a little later in my presentation. This current structure was implemented in 1997 and consists of four modules. The Household Core, which collects information, demographic information on all members of the household. The Family Core, which collects general health information on all family members and allows proxy respondents to provide information for other members of the household. The Sample Core module, which collects information on health conditions, risk behaviors, and health behaviors, among other things, on one randomly selected adult in the household. In this portion of the questionnaire, the information is collected from the respondent where possible, although, if necessary, proxy responses are allowed. And then the Sample Child Core, which collects health condition, healthcare access, and utilization information, among other data, on one randomly selected child in the household. And in that case, a knowledgeable adult provides information on the child. The Household and Family Core modules are the sources of data such as race and ethnicity, gender, and health insurance coverage, and the sample adult and sample child questionnaires are the sources of information such as hepatitis B vaccinations covered under adult immunizations for adults and childhood immunizations for children. And I'll be talking a little bit more about these data later in my presentation. I just want to also bring to your attention that NHIS data, our questionnaire also includes periodic supplemental modules that allow for specific health issues to be examined in greater detail. And some of the modules that we've had fairly recently have been cancer screening and use of complementary and alternative medicine. As the NHIS has progressed over the years, there has been a greater demand for disaggregated data to examine health and healthcare disparities among population groups in the U.S. The way that the NHIS has historically achieved this is through oversampling, which refers to a method of sampling households at a higher rate based on selected criteria. In the case of the NHIS, Oversampling is based on population density and screening of households and is primarily designed to increase the reliability of estimates for population groups. Black households were first oversampled in the NHIS in 1985, and in 1995, the NHIS began oversampling Hispanic households in addition to black households. And beginning with the 2006 NHIS sample redesign, we began oversampling households with minority adults age 65 and older, and Asian households. I hope you can see all these numbers. I know this is kind of a tiny table, but I just wanted to give you a sense of how the sample sizes for the Asian population have changed since we started the oversample. In this table, which includes all persons in the NHIS who identified with one of the Asian population groups, I just want to show, I don't know if the cursor will come over here. In this column, 2005, is prior to the beginning of the oversample. And then you can see in the subsequent columns across the table how the numbers have increased sizably. You can see that compared to 2005, the first year of the oversample begins a steady growth in sample size for each of the groups. The Asian Indian sample size has almost doubled, and the Chinese population has more than doubled. The Korean sample size is more than 2.5 times larger. The increase in the Japanese and Vietnamese groups has been smaller, but sample sizes for these groups continue to increase. And we have had an influx of sample for the NHIS for the 2012 survey year, which is designed to help collect information on the Affordable Care Act. And we expect that that will also lead to a little bit of an unanticipated increase in the Asian sample as well. So that should improve the numbers for 2012 should be even better than some of these numbers. Just to give you some perspective, this pie chart illustrates the percent distribution of the NHIS sample by race for our most recently released data file, which is 2011. This PowerPoint calls an exploding pie chart. I just wanted to be able to show you some of the detail here because some of these slivers are small. This sliver right here is the Asian population. The Asian population groups combined make up about 7% of the NHIS sample, compared to 3.8% of the sample in 2005, which I mentioned was the year before we began the oversample. So you can see that the oversample has really contributed significantly to increasing the Asian population sample. Of note here is also this really tiny sliver right there, 0.23%. is the Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander portion of the sample at just 0.23%. And this turquoise sliver right here, which is the more than one race portion of the sample, which is 2.4%. Now, I've taken the previous slice of the Asian population from the previous slide and expanded it out just to be able to show what the percent distribution of different population groups is in the NHIS sample. In the sample, Filipino is the largest portion, followed by Chinese and Asian Indian, with Japanese being the smallest portion of the sample at 6.12%. I've broken out the other Asian slice here, which is this gray slice right there, because I wanted to bring to your attention that this is a sizable portion of the Asian sample and it's continuing to grow. It represents the aggregated responses we get from respondents and includes groups such as Hmong, Laotian, Bangladeshi, Pakistani, and other groups. One of the things that I'm hoping to do sometime very soon is take a little bit closer look at some of these responses and the frequency of these responses to see if they can actually be added to the NHIS data files. They may not be available as public use data, but they'll certainly be available to researchers if they want to look at some of these groups through the research data centers. Some of the analyses of NHIS data on Asian health that have been done or are in progress are shown on this slide. There's been one report published that focused on Asian health disparities in health care access and utilization, conditions and diseases, and immunizations in adults using the 2004 through 2006 NHIS data. Some new reports are underway using the 2007 through 2011 NHIS data that will cover many of these same areas of interest. And lastly, my colleague Renee Gindy and I have an analytic project underway that is examining hepatitis B vaccinations in Asian adults. And I'd like to spend the last portion of my presentation sharing this data with you. Just to give you a sense of the global impact and prevalence of chronic hepatitis B infection, CDC has this great map on its website. And the dark turquoise areas here and here show the countries and areas of the world with the highest rates of chronic hepatitis B infection. Several Asian countries are represented among those with the highest infection rates, including China, Vietnam, Thailand, North and South Korea, Cambodia, and Laos. India and Pakistan have moderate rates of hepatitis B infection. HHS has identified hepatitis B as a major public health concern for Asian population groups, as long-term infection can lead to liver cancer, among other complications. Using disaggregated data from the NHIS allows us to look at this issue in some detail. So for our analyses, we combined data from the 2006 through 2011 NHIS data, which came out to about 157,000 adults and 7,395 Asian adults, which gives us a fairly decent sample size for analysis. The estimates that we looked at for hepatitis B vaccination are based on two questions in the NHIS, whether or not they'd ever had a vaccine for hepatitis B, and if they had, the number of doses, which we parsed out to three or more doses or less than three. And some of the variables of interest that we're looking at include age, sex, education, nativity, access to care, language of interview, use of interpreter for an interview, liver disease, and occupation. Just want to mention language of interview. Unfortunately, we don't collect a lot of detail about the specific languages that were used in the interview. We only have information on whether or not the interview was conducted in English, Spanish, or some other language. However, we have information on whether or not an interpreter was used for the interview, and so we're including that as a variable in our analysis, and we're looking through the interviewer notes to see if the interviewer indicates what language was spoken and or what language was necessary for the interviewer come in. Okay, I'm going to get the hook soon, so I'm going to speed through this. I have basically two data slides. In the first one, I'm showing unadjusted percentages of Asian adults who ever had a hepatitis B vaccination by population group. And basically, the main thing I wanted to point out here is that we had pretty good rates of having a hepatitis B vaccinations in Asian Indian adults, Japanese adults, and were least likely to have had a hepatitis B vaccination. But the other thing I want to point out here is also these confidence intervals, because even though we have really decent sample sizes, once we start breaking the data down by individual population groups and then looking further at other characteristics, we start to see some loss of sample size. So we're trying to do our very best to get the most robust estimates that we can. This next slide illustrates the percentage of Asian adults who have ever had a hepatitis B vaccine by population group and nativity status, because this was an important thing that we wanted to understand, differences in hepatitis B vaccinations by nativity. And it did show that some of the foreign-born groups were less likely to have had hepatitis B vaccination than U.S.-born groups. And you'll see that these confidence intervals for the U.S.-born Asian Americans are larger, and that's primarily because more Asian adults are foreign-born than they are U.S. born. But still, there's some interesting information here. For example, Vietnamese adults, which I think we know, were had a lower prevalence of having had hepatitis B vaccination. Our next steps are to compute age-adjusted estimates for the demographic and health characteristics, and to also determine covariates that we want to select for our modeling. And what we want to test is, are Asian groups significantly different from one another in the likelihood of having received a hepatitis B vaccine? We also want to look at what factors are associated with receiving a hepatitis B vaccine. And we want to know, lastly and most importantly, do those factors differ for different Asian groups? Our plans are to write this up, write up our descriptive and multivariate results for publication, one in an NCHS report, and then as a journal article. That concludes my presentation. If you have any questions, here is my contact information, and I invite you to visit the NHIS website, where there's lots of great information about our survey, and I'm happy to answer any questions when we get to the end. Thank you.